fight back against the corona propaganda war. James Ivins: the BBC must be for the government, said its founder Lord Reith during the 1926 general strike. That has certainly been the case during the coronavirus pandemic. In fact, the BBC might as well have rebranded itself the Boris Broadcasting Corporation. For the most part, IS has simply amplified the ever-receding Tory guarantees on tests, ventilators, income and so on, without question. Propaganda, in the sense of distorting public information to defend power, is not just about blunt lies or diversions. In a propaganda war, as in a real war, sometimes it is necessary to make a tactical retreat. So propaganda can also be about delaying the spread of an inevitable truth, to attempt to release it in a safer way for the ruling class, flattening the curve of public anger. Information is sometimes omitted outright. More often it's late, or structured to minimize the most damaging news, burying the lead. And the BBC's trademark sobriety of tone masks the dishonesty of its arguments. Of course, there hasn't been a total suppression of the facts. That would risk undermining the BBC's authority with mass audiences. Newsnight, for example, has excoriated ministers at times during the crisis over problems, like lack of PPE and testing. However, Newsnight caters to a small core of political viewers. Axed rival Victoria Derbyshire gave figures of 297,000 for an episode of Newsnight before the crisis. BBC News at 6 was pulling in around 15 times that, to say nothing of the website and social media. For mass consumption, however, we have little criticism of the government, medical staff reduced to tears on the news, and bedridden patients gasping for breath, all saying, stay at home. Individual responsibility: the Socialist Party supports social distancing, and other measures to control the outbreak, although the government's own planning requires over 5 million workers to continue going to their physical workplaces. But the capitalist media emphasizes attempts to shift all responsibility onto the individual as a deflection from the bigger issues. It is lack of PPE, mass testing, full income support, unprofitable preparation, and decisive early action that is leading to unnecessary deaths of patients and frontline workers. It is the consequence of a government and a system that put profit above health. Naturally, anxiety for information during an emergency plus forced time at home is swelling media consumption. There's now more peak hours viewing than there was over Christmas, according to the Broadcasters Audience Research Board. News is the main beneficiary. In the third week of March, BBC One's News at 6 pulled in 7.8 million viewers, a 74% increase on 2019. For now, the growing distrust of the media under crisis-ridden capitalism seems to have gone into temporary reverse. Furloughed workers are isolated from collective discussion in their workplace, subjected to individual bombardment by the mass media. It is completely wrong, therefore, that some trade unions have suspended meetings or declared partnership with the employers and the state. Workplace organizing and electronic union meetings must go ahead to cut across the government propaganda and to organize against the attacks on workers' health, safety and income. The Socialist has continued production to counter the lack of information and misinformation. We have explained from day one that cuts and privatization had left Britain unprepared, and the Tories' emergency measures are caught between defending public health or private profit. We give the other side the truth of what's happening on the ground and socialist proposals to resolve it. Only democratic working class control of the state and the mass media could create the conditions for a genuine exchange of information and ideas. To build towards that, the workers' movement must maintain and extend its own independent organizations and media,